Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports development, including updated odds on the NBA playoffs, fights, and even next season's futures. And don't forget that the MLB is back as well. Who are you picking to win the World Series? BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's super easy to get started, so head to the website today and use your mobile device to join and use the promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts.
In a world that's perfect, lies a perfect little town, where one team stands alone. But now, something's stirring that will change this place forever.
Perfect.
Welcome to Perfectville, your first place podcast for your Miami Dolphins, part of the Believe Network. I am Sam Marcoux, and he is the two-time, yes, two-time Hall of Famer. Of course, I'm talking about none other than the returning champion himself, Dr. Christopher Colin. Doctor, how in the hell are you, my friend?
Oh, very good. I went to a doctor retreat for fans with doctorates, and you did the show by yourself. Great job, by the way. Terrified though when you called me out of the blue yesterday with some news, and I'm glad I'm still part of it. So I'm glad you didn't do too good last week.
Did you think I was firing you because I did two podcasts by myself in the last month? No. If anything, I think it stresses the importance of the two-time Hall of Famer on the show, because I hated both episodes, quite frankly. But we had to get it done. But lots of things going on here. We've got we've got the schedule release, which we're going to talk about. We've got some players that were released because we signed some new players. And of course, we have a press release, Chris, which is the news that you were alluding to that we're going to announce here. Not so breaking news if you follow us on social media, but happy to announce, proud to be a part of the Believe Network, because as part of the Believe Network, as one of the 32 NFL podcasts on this Believe Network, we've struck a deal with SiriusXM to where all of your content from Welcome to Perfectville will now be streaming on the SiriusXM app. A beautiful content partnership between Believe and SiriusXM, Chris. Wow. Congratulations to you. I guess congratulations to me. Never in my wildest dreams that I think 6 years ago when we started these podcasts in our respective garages on both sides of the United States, you in North Carolina, me in Northern California, would we be talking about the fact that apparently we just now get to hang out with Howard Stern on SiriusXM?
Yeah, we mentioned privately that we're like basically best friends with Robin now.
Sure.
We basically are Howard Stern, just without the paycheck.
I mean, actually, Howard Stern gets to hang out with us, if we're being honest. I mean, he's got to be excited.
Yeah, hopefully they have a Christmas party or something. That'd be great to get to be invited to go to. But no, this is cool. And I think our story is what makes it so cool for me, is that we met each other on a Miami Dolphins message board, Fin Heaven, and now the fins.com. And we were serial posters, like just so many posts. There were too many posts, and we're on there a lot. And we met each other in person for the NFL draft. We met each other in person when you came to watch the Panthers Dolphins game. You then knew I was doing these side radio things on random radio stations on the internet with eight listeners. You'd call in with characters and all that. And then one day you called me and said, "Hey dude, first person I thought of, want to start a podcast? Cause we can't like get any content about the Miami Dolphins." And I said, "Yes, best thing I've done in a while." And here we are 6 years later, and we got a friend working for the Miami Dolphins. And here's the SiriusXM news, dude. It's fantastic. Like you said, congratulations to you and all our fans for the support. It's been amazing.
Well, yeah, I want to say thank you to the Reddit Nation. You know, they're really the first social media platform that embraced us from our very first episode. Twitter's been awesome. Instagram, all of it. you know, it doesn't end here. Actually, we're just getting started, which is great. But you did leave out one part of our history here. We didn't meet at the NFL draft. We didn't meet at the Carolina Dolphins game. We met in Florida on a pickup football game where all of the out-of-towners were on one side, and then we had a bunch of local boys on the other, and you showed up out of the blue, like halfway through, like a monster, 6'3". And if you remember correctly, they figured out real quick, if they just throw the ball to you, you were like Jerome Bettis out there, just knocking people down. And I was playing safety. You were playing running back. They dropped the ball off to you. Everyone on my team in front of me got out of the way. I stood my ground. Let it be known. I stood my ground. I squared up and I hit Chris as hard as I could. And then the next thing you knew, I was on my back. He was stepping on my face saying, "Fuck you, Sam," and then ran for a touchdown. That is a true story. And I knew at that point, I need to be friends with this guy because he's going to beat my ass.
Well, it wasn't even fair. So there's a bunch of nerds.
Oh, thank you.
Show up. No, I'm not. I mean, honestly, just to give everybody context, I literally was, I think, 2 or 3 months removed from playing college football. I was in the best shape of my life, like a solid 225. After a NCAA collegiate football program, weightlifting program every day. And I was like, sure, I'll play pickup tackle football with a bunch of dudes. And I showed up. I had the picture still. I had my head in a sleeve. I cut an old sleeve off a old t-shirt and put it around so the hair gel wouldn't run into my eyes. And I had fucking mutton chops, Sam. Like, my wife is like, she remembers, she's here and actually shaking her head. Yes, I had shaved mutton chops and came out there and just played with a bunch of local South Florida kids. And there's a kid, I forgot his screen name, but his name's Pete. He played with you guys, and yeah, he was from the message board. And there was a time where it was like at the 1 yard line, it was him between me and scoring. And I pulled a Nelson from The Simpsons and fake put my shoulder down, and he went, "Ah," and jumped out of the way. And I just scooted into the end zone untouched because made a business decision. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. I'm totally so glad you brought up this story because that's memories I totally didn't think about for a long time.
Yeah, I think I might have been the only person on my team that had actually ever played like organized football. And I'm like, well, you just hit up in this, you know, hit the guy. But I did play at the collegiate level. So I found out real quick, there's a difference between middle school, high school football in terms of talent. And then, you know, college football with you. Like you said, you were just coming off your college career. And I was the only one there, I think, that had cleats. And I'm like, fine, I'll hit this guy. And then turns out I did not hit that guy. That guy hit me. And at that point, I was like, well, maybe I'll just talk about football from here on forward and I'll be done with the actual physical sport. But anyway, a little bit of a side note there. Let's get into the news, man. I mean, nobody's here to listen to you and I talk about you and I. They want to hear us, you and I, talk about the Miami Dolphins. Let's talk about the fact that last week you were not here. You were off doing your thing. But Sony Michel, another running back, signed for the Miami Dolphins. I maintain that he's probably going to make this team. I think this is a bad sign for Myles Gaskin. I think it's a bad sign for Suvon Ahmed. When you are looking at running the ball and being a run-first team like Mike McDaniel is shaping this Miami Dolphins offense to be, and you go out and sign three running backs, all from the NFC West. We're one Seattle Seahawk away from the entire NFC West running back room. It's not a good sign if you're the incumbent, right? I mean, you're looking at Chase Edmonds, you're looking at Raheem Mostert, and then you're looking at Sony Michel from the Rams last year. If you're Myles Gaskin and Suvon Ahmed, you're like, well, maybe we should go back to school in Washington because it doesn't seem like we're going to be employed much longer, right?
Yeah, I love what they're doing. Running back has been a problem for us for years. I mean, there's a couple seasons ago, Ryan Fitzpatrick was our leading rusher. So that's not good. So we need to probably upgrade. And Myles Gaskin looked good for us, but it's, you know, that's like being the tallest midget. You know what I mean? You're still a midget.
Which he is, by the way. He's literally the tallest midget. So,
which he literally is a midget. So I think it's great. I like Sony Michel. Once we signed him, I looked up his stats and was very surprised. I forgot Cam Akers missed so much time. He had almost 800 yards rushing, I think. So, you know, him coming in here, he's from South Florida, I think, yep, most likely. That's a good chance with anybody in the NFL, most likely you can say that about. And it's good because Raheem Mostert and Chase Edmonds have been injured recently. So run by committee, whatever you have to do, we just need to have a run game that's scaring a defense and opening up our passing. Because I love McDaniel and his mindset of you have to run a set up to pass, and you do that with ding, ding, ding running backs. So I love the signing. It's great.
Yeah, I do too. And like I said, some people were saying that they didn't think that he would make the team. It is a one-year contract. And if you look at all the running backs that we signed, they're all short-term solutions. I think the long-term solution for the Miami Dolphins is still going to be in the draft when it comes to the running backs. I don't know that any of these guys beyond maybe Chase Edmonds, who has a two-year contract, is going to be here beyond one more year. We'll see, I guess. We'll see how that plays out. But nonetheless, I do think this is bad news for Miles Gaskin and Suvon Ahmed. So if you are filling out your rosters, trying to figure out your 53-man, unless there's an injury, knock on wood, I don't know that Miles Gaskin should be in your top three, even if you're top four running backs for the Miami Dolphins. But I mentioned that we actually released a player, Chris, and that would be quarterback Chris Stravolover, who that's Chris's favorite. That was his dark horse to maybe unseat Tua as the number one quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. But the reason why he was let go, Chris, is that they signed some guy, multi-time all-pro, pro bowler, edge rusher, Melvin Ingram III, long rumored to come to the Miami Dolphins for a few years. He's always been attached to us. He finally signed a one-year contract, another veteran on the defensive side of the ball, and maybe the scariest contract signing picture I've ever seen. If you've seen it online, he's smiling, and then he looks at the camera and just strikes fear. In fact, Josh Allen took a knee from the Buffalo Bills as soon as he saw that picture. I was like, nope, this counts as a sack. He pulled an old, like you said, business decision, because Melvin Ingram to this defense, a veteran presence to a team that's already ascending on defense, I think it's a great signing.
It's fantastic. I'm super thrilled with it. You got a young coach, so you bring in a guy that's got veteran leadership that's coming in. It's coming off a very successful team of the Kansas City Chiefs, where he had success, and he didn't make it with the Steelers early on. And here's my here's what I have a feeling, and what I'm putting pieces together when Melvin Ingram signs with us. He didn't handle or didn't get along with the tough-nosed Mike Tomlin type coaching. He goes to Kansas City, has great success with Andy Reid, who's more of a player coach, you know, friendly guy. He signs with the Miami Dolphins, where we talked off air, we have players using Mike McDaniel as avatars for their social media because he's so funny, and he gets them, and they get to pick music at practice. So it just, here comes Melvin Ingram on the down slope of his career, for sure. But somebody that you can put in a third down situation, or it's the end of a drive in the fourth quarter, you can bring him fresh off the bench to spell Ogba or Jalen Phillips, or fuck it, have all three of them on at the same time, do some stunts. It just does nothing but help the defense. So again, love the signing. Beautiful.
It's a low risk, high reward signing for me. And I think you're onto something with that whole, you know, right fit in terms of culture for Melvin Ingram. By the way, if you're a defensive player in the NFL and your first name is Melvin, you better be good. And Melvin is absolutely good. but you're absolutely right. I mean, I think there is something there to be said about a fit in terms of the coaching scheme. And you got to remember, he played with Tyreek Hill last year. Do you think he didn't call Tyreek and say, what's the vibe down in Miami before he signed? Of course he did. And again, he's 33 years old. He's not going to be your every down starter. He's not the Melvin Ingram that he was, call it 6 years ago. However, you're absolutely right, Chris. Imagine third and 10, third and long, and it's an obvious passing situation. Melvin Ingram's out there and he's going to be rushing the quarterback, and you better get rid of that ball, or you better block him if you're on offense, because otherwise your quarterback's going to go splat, because that's what he does best. And he's going to be a situational pass rusher. He fills a need for this team, which is to get more pressure from your edge rushers and maybe less blitzing from time to time. So you can keep your defensive backs back. You can keep some linebackers back in coverage and just use, you know, a front four to actually create pressure. It makes the team that much better. I mean, is it the difference between making the playoffs and not? Probably not. But is it the difference between maybe stopping a drive and maybe winning a game versus not? Possibly. I mean, we've seen players, Cam Wake's a great one, who ends a game on a walk-off sack safety. I mean, these types of signings matter. And I think to get Melvin Ingram for what they got him for 1 year, to come on in and just help that defense, not shore it up because it's already shored up, but help add to it, is just a brilliant move by Chris Greer and the Miami Dolphins front office.
Well, I got two things on it too. One, it matches a division rival who paid $100 million to Von Miller, which every time I hear Von Miller, I just think of the skank hunk episode of South Park where the Swedish guy says, he says he uses his name as Von Miller, and he goes, are you enjoying your meal, Mr. Von the Mealer? That's hilarious to me. Sorry, it's been awful while. I had to get some things off my chest. Watching a lot of South Park. Peacock, yeah, totally. Second thing is a big deal. So I've been, as you know, traveling the entire Southeast with rugby. I've learned a lot, and I've learned a lot about that beautiful game. It really is sweet. And one thing rugby does, and I love this, is you're a starting 15, and then the backups aren't called backups, Sam. They're called finishers.
Right.
So these guys are sitting in a 60, 80-minute match, and in the second half or the second half of the second half, when guys are beat down, they're tired, all of a sudden you go, get the fuck out there, finishers, not backups, finishers, and end the game, win the game, or hold them off. And that's what a Melvin Ingram can bring to the table when you got Jalen Phillips and Ogba getting a lot of the reps. All of a sudden, it's September, it's 98 degrees, their offensive line is completely shredded, and what happens? A fresh Melvin Ingram comes in for the last drive. I mean, that is just something to give a defensive coordinator, and it's a riot. I love it.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch this defense and this offense come together during the regular season. After the break, we are going to talk about the schedule. We're going to break down where we see the tough parts of the schedule, where we see maybe the easy parts of the schedule, and give our obvious predictions for what the Miami Dolphins are going to do in 2022 in terms of wins and losses. But we're not there yet, Chris, because the season starts in September, but we're in May, which means OTAs, organized training activities. And you alluded to this, and I think we can't stress this enough for this Miami Dolphins team. The vibe, the culture, the everything that's going on with the Miami Dolphins right now is trending upwards. I don't know that there is a negative story for a team that started 2022 in such turmoil, firing a coach, lawsuits, everything that's went on with Deshaun Watson, you know, late last year, all of this BS that has surrounded the Miami Dolphins for quite some time. That has seemed to all gone away. It seems to have melted away. Mike McDaniel, Mike McDrip, if you will, has come in and really just turned this franchise 100% upside down in a good way. The vibe right now, you see people, you see players dancing. You see players joking. You see players laughing. You see players praising, you know, the turnaround of this offense. Let's just talk about the scheme. You have defensive players going, wow, this offense looks way different from what they're seeing in practice right now. You've got a new generation of coaching coming in and saying the best player from yesterday's practice is now in charge of the music, the vibe. They've earned it for how good they are. That is what you call positive reinforcement for these players, which when you're talking about Tua Tagovailoa, that seems to be who is your quarterback. That seems to be what he really responds to. He doesn't respond to no, no, no. He responds to yes, this is what you did good, and here's what you can fix, but you're doing this really well. And Mike McDaniel seems to get it. Tyreek Hill, our star wide receiver, his profile picture on Twitter is of the head coach. I mean, you're talking about a guy who has a reputation for being a diva and all about me, and he made his profile coach, his profile picture, his coach. I mean, what is going on in South Florida? Because if we can bottle that and, you know, continue to do that year over year over year, we should. I mean, talk about just how good this team feels right now in May.
It's so important, Sam. And I've talked about this a lot on previous shows, even a year or two ago, where just the whole, like, grab the guy by the face mask and scream at him and call him a bitch and rub some dirt on it and belittling and talking down military style football coaching is going away. And whether the purists love it or not, or they think it's not traditional football, or why do you have to be their buddies, their millionaires, that's going away. It means something to these human beings that just happen to be good at football for your coach and the coaching staff around it to not just be supportive, but to make it fun. Right. Like, all these people complain about the NFL standing for the no fun league. Like, you got a coach now that's coming in. He's dressing like he does. He's joking at press conferences. He's with it when it comes to current events and music and movies. Dude, that means a lot to these guys. Whether it's like going to win you football games or anything, that's yet to be seen. But every single player, even who I thought was a Brian Flores like warrior in a Xavier Howard, came out in his press conference, and the first thing he said was, "A whole vibe feels different. It's completely supportive. It's collaborative. It's fun to be around." Nick Needham had an amazing quote recently where he said Mike McDaniel teaches and he shows film and he's fun to be around and he'll make jokes and he'll have other people make jokes. And then he'll also come together and teach, and he's a genius. He ended the quote with, "He is a great coach." Like, that's, that's it, man. The guy that's going to put his arm around you, but also, like, you know, take you to school when it comes to, as a professional athlete, show me how I can be better in between the white lines. That's a perfect mix. And again, we're 0-0. There's no wins yet to show for it. But I just, in my heart of hearts, feel like it's going to be a whole different team and it's going to lead to success.
I think it's going to lead to success. And that's what I'm going to stress to Dolphins everywhere, is you need to be patient, because this is a process. And I'm not going to say trust the process, but you at least have to respect what is happening right now, because this is a culture shift. This is a culture shock. And if you're listening to what the players are telling us, they're all seeing it. They're all buying into it. I don't see anybody who's being silent or anybody who's disagreeing with what is happening for the Miami Dolphins right now. And you're 100% right, Chris, in that this style of coaching, this era of players, they need somebody like a Mike McDaniel who is going to sit down and teach, because you are talking about people that make more money than you and you're the boss. So how do you reconcile those two things? You can't yell and kick and scream at them, because that just doesn't work. They're like, I make more money than you. I don't need to listen to you. I mean, somehow that becomes the mentality, right? So if you listen to what I've been saying this for a while, Mike McDaniel is telling you exactly what he's going to do. He is not hiding it. He's not revealing secrets. He's not giving away, you know, secret plays or anything like that, but he is telling you what he wants to do. He told you who he wanted to bring back for the Miami Dolphins. He told you who he wanted to sign, and he went out and did it. He's telling you how he's going to coach. And he has said this from day one when he became the Miami Dolphins head coach: coaches are to coach. That is what they do. That is my job. I am not there to tell them anything else other than to help them be better at what they do. That is what I am paid to do. And that's exactly what he's doing. And his approach right now seems to be, quote unquote, perfect.
Yeah. And we've said this before, and I've mentioned it, so I won't harp on it too long, but a player's, especially at the professional level, Sam, they're already amazing athletes. Obviously they've gotten this far in their life in this game. What do you as a coach bring to the table to make me better when the whistle blows? Because Mike McDaniel's not out there playing. Wes Welker's not out there playing anymore. Sam Madison and Patrick Surtain aren't out there playing anymore, but they're their teachers. They're their coaches. And you said it and hit the nail right on the head. Mike McDaniel has come out and said it since the beginning when he said, "We're going to be teachers." And that's what they have to do. And the fact that older players, younger players, current players, former players that have ever been around Mike McDaniel praise him as a coach and his knowledge and how he treats people is just going to, that's just one less thing to worry about, right? Like, we always had the cloud over the room with Flores. And even I mentioned this one of my friends, dude, this is the first time we've had a coach like this ever. I mean, you want to talk about Wanstead, Jimmy Johnson, the hard ass guys, and then Phil Ben and Cameron are goofs. And then Flores comes in and he's a hard ass, takes no talent, run to the wall, don't talk back, I'll bench you because you looked at me weird. This guy's coming in and all of a sudden it's just like, you know, when Miss Mandible leaves in the movie Matilda and you can lift up the shitty fucking bland curtains and have some color in your life and have some fun. And people work better in environments like that, other than being under the iron thumb. So it's going to lead to success. I just know it.
This has got to be the only NFL and, of course, the only Miami Dolphins podcast that's going to reference Matilda the movie while talking great about movie. The head coach of the Miami Dolphins, Mr. Mike McDaniel. But
shout out to Danny DeVito.
There you go. Shout out to the Penguin from the original Batman's there. Tim, who was the actual? I don't remember. Tim Burton. Tim Burton was the director of those. All right. Well, look, so OTAs are going well. We're seeing a lot of good content from the Miami Dolphins social media team in terms of Tua Tagovailoa, making passes happen to the different wide receivers out there. You're seeing the defensive guys get their drills in, and Chris is chomping at the bit, ladies and gentlemen. You cannot see this, but I can. He's chomping at the bit to drop something for the citizens. Yeah.
Well, speaking of OTAs, and I'm going to ask you this because it was a great question and they all answered it. And funnily enough, half of the team is Denzel Washington, but they asked what actor should play you in a movie. Tua said The Rock, which is a Samoan actor. It makes sense. And he flexed and he said, we're the same size, right? Like, which is great. So I'm going to ask you, Sam, I'm going to put you on the spot. Who plays us in a movie?
Well, first of all, I think maybe the Pebble should play Tua because The Rock's got him by about a foot. But kudos to Tua. I like that he's thinking big. You know, you got to like the mentality there. So you got a couple here. So you're a little easier because especially when you were younger, you looked a lot like Jack Black. I have pictures of you where you looked like Jack Black. So we could go Jack Black for you. I've gotten a bunch of different ones. The one that I got a lot when I was younger was that I looked like Robert Downey Jr. when he was on heroin. So I don't know what that means. This kind of hurts my feelings, but also maybe not. I don't know. He did his best work outside of Iron Man when he was smacked up. But I'll go Robert Downey Jr. can play me. I'm fine with Robert Downey Jr. being me. The other one I used to get a lot is I think his name is Josh Jackson. He played Pacey on Dawson's Creek. He's been in a bunch of stuff since then. But in high school, he and I had the same haircut.
Wait. We're on a sports podcast.
Yes.
And you talk about Joshua Jackson and you said he's on Dawson's Creek. Hello. Yes. He's Captain Duck in the Mighty Ducks movies. He's Charlie, and you respect his goddamn name. He is Captain Duck. He does a triple deke, and he beat the Hawks in the regional semifinal. So, yeah, Captain Duck.
I should have done that, too, because Sean Weiss, who played Goldberg in that movie, is actually a good friend of mine. But, oh, well, I missed that one. All kidding aside. But I did that because James Vanderbeek played quarterback in one of them movies, Varsity Blues. So I thought maybe I could tie it back into sports that way because James Vanderbeek was Dawson from Dawson's Creek. But
I don't want your life.
I don't want your life. And then he hits his dad in the nose with a football. Awesome. Movie. Good stuff. You know what was the best part about
Tweeter,
that movie?
Tweeter is the best character in that. Nah. You know, because there's a scene, and the men listening understand, especially ones that are athletes, that you're exerting all this energy and the blood's going to your heart and to your muscles. He, at one point on the sideline, pulls his pants up, looks down, looks away in dishevelment, and goes, what the fuck is that? As he's looking down his pants. Everybody knows exactly what he's talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Tweeter is hilarious. He's the one that says, she just fell off the I just sucked your dick tree and hit every branch on the way down. Great movie, Varsity Blues. As you can tell, I'm a trivia buff when it comes to entertainment and movies and music.
So. Also, if you want to go look at how coaching for football used to happen, go watch Varsity Blues and compare that to what's happening in Miami right now.
Good call. Great call.
And it's a completely different vibe in terms of what coaching is now versus what coaching used to be and still kind of is maybe at that level, you know, at some point. But anyway, enough about Varsity Blues, enough about Pacey, enough about who would play. But well, what do you think? I didn't even ask you who would play you because you've gotten the Randy Quaid comparisons from time to time. But who would play
horrible comparison? Yeah. Jack Black's the first go-to. Obviously, I've got the gray beard going right now. I've been growing out for rugby season, gonna cut it for football. But even Jack Black with his beard, I totally can be Jack Black in a Tenacious D cover band. So, and I can hit some of the notes, not all of them. He's a great singer. But I would go Jack Black for me for sure. I got Mark Hoppus from Blink-182 when I was younger, in my younger, middle high school days. Cause I had like the kind of the tips, highlight tips and everything like that. So I'll tweet out a picture of me younger. Yes. Mark Hoppus makes no sense right now, but a couple of beers after my middle school days.
What's my name? But again?
Yours is a good one. I do like RDJ, especially with you kind of got the glasses vibe and everything. And if you did the beard like him, and I didn't say that. I love it. I said, oh my god, you look like, you know, the time period when RDJ was throwing away his career and high on smack. Yeah, the RDJ.
You look like when he used to break into people's houses and sleep in little kids' rooms because he didn't know where he was because he's so junked up. And I'm like, oh, thank you. I think. Maybe. I don't know. But yeah, I'll take it. Whatever. I mean, he turned his life around, so maybe I'll do the same. I mean, we just got the SiriusXM news, so we're on the upswing. We're in our Iron Man.
Or I can be just like half of our team, and I'll just say Denzel Washington for me.
There you go. That was my backup. If it wasn't Jack Black, it was going to be Denzel Washington. And you know what? Denzel is such a good actor. He could probably pull off a very good Chris Cullen, and he would probably win an Academy Award, and then Will Smith would go up and smack the shit out of him too. All right. So let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk all about the Miami Dolphins season schedule from week one to week 18. There's some tough matchups in here, but there's some, maybe some matchups that we could just possibly walk by. But we'll talk all about that and give our season predictions right after these words. Citizens of Perfectville everywhere, listen up. This is Sam Marcoux from the Perfectville Podcast, and this episode is brought to you in part by Auto Approve. Now, what is Auto Approve, you may ask? I'm so glad you would ask that. Auto Approve is an online service that makes vehicle refinancing easier and faster. And who doesn't want easier and faster in today's environment? Am I right? Auto Approve connects vehicle owners with a network of top credit unions, banks, and finance companies to find the best available interest rates. Then helps handle the paperwork, simplifying the vehicle refinance process from beginning to end and putting more money back in your pocket. Take your tailgate to the next level with more money in your pocket. More money means better seats for all you Dolph fans out there. More money means another round with the boys. That's right. Hit the bar, drink some suds, then have another one with your buds. Make more money for game night with friends. More money for that new jersey. That's right. We got Tyreek Hill. We got Jaylen Waddle. We've got Tua Tagovailoa. You guys need that money, that extra money. And what would you do with that money? I tell you what I'm doing. I am going to buy that jersey. I'm going to the Miami Dolphins games, and I'm spending some money at the casinos, betting that those Miami Dolphins are going to the Super Bowl. It's 55-1 odds, ladies and gentlemen. And that's what Auto Approve can do for you. More money back in your wallet. Not only will they save you thousands on your auto loan, but for all the listeners that are out there, refinance through Auto Approve, and they will send you $100 cash in your mailbox. That's right, 100 big ones. Mr. Benjamin, straight to your mailbox. And why are they doing this? Because they're solving problems, ladies and gentlemen. They're finding solutions to problems in your life. Most people are paying too much on their vehicle loan. In 2021, auto-approved customers saved on average $164 a month. Now, I'm no mathematician, ladies and gentlemen, but over 12 months, which is 1 year, that's thousands of dollars in savings that auto-approve is doing for you. They never mark up rates. The rate that the lender offers is the rate we pass on to you. What a service, ladies and gentlemen. With Auto Approve, vehicle owners can lower their monthly payment, get a better rate, or both. Who wouldn't want both? That's having your cake and eating it too. To find out how much you can save and to claim your $100 cash back offer, visit autoapprove.com/believe. That's autoapprove.com/believe. And we're back. Chris Cullen, Sam Marcoux, Believe Network, now streaming on Sirius XM. And we're talking the Miami Dolphins season schedule here, Chris. We've got 17 games, just like we did last year. And I said last week when I was riding solo that I would be okay with the Miami Dolphins playing anybody week one other than the New England goddamn Patriots. And what did the NFL do? They listened to our podcast and they said, you know what? Fuck you, Sam. New England Patriots week one, September 11th at Hard Rock Stadium. The Miami Dolphins open at home against a division rival. In this case, the New England Patriots, third year in a row, week one against the Patriots. What do you think about this opener for the Miami Dolphins here in 2022?
I'm actually excited about it. So, and there's a reason why, is because the rumor was we got Buffalo at Buffalo week one, which, not to say I'm not excited about our team or anything, but damn, that is a rough first game because narratives go away, everything. If you slip up and lose to the Buffalo Bills week one. Now, can that still happen in New England? Absolutely. Especially with it being at home. But in my opinion, it's a more winnable game. I think we've gotten significantly better than the New England Patriots in comparison from last season, and we swept them last year. Now, albeit the second game and first game, really, it took a lot of luck, recovering a fumble, pick six, things like that. But, you know, that's still playing football. But this being a home opener with a new coach, with Tyreek Hill and all these added little weapons and things like that, with the heat index, what it's going to be in September, Sam, not to just jump out and call it already, but I mean, I'd be severely disappointed if we lose that ball game. I just don't see us losing to Mac Jones in his dark colored jersey in September in Miami for a home opener.
It's a 1 p.m. game in the afternoon. I mean, this could not have played out any better. If you have to play the Patriots week one, you want to play them at home September 11th. It's going to be hot. It's going to be moist. This is what I am happy about. If you win your AFC East games, right, you beat the Patriots, you beat the Bills, you beat the Jets, you have a really, really good chance of making the playoffs. So getting the Patriots at home early gives you that home field advantage. I am glad about that. But it gets tougher from there because the next week, at Baltimore Ravens. That's a tough game. You're playing in Baltimore. You're playing against a team that we beat last year that traditionally beats us. I don't know that they're as good as they have been in years past, but going on the road is always going to be tough. I mean, you have the Ravens week two, and then you got the Buffalo Bills back at home in September. That is going to be the litmus test right there. Week three, Buffalo Bills in Miami. We haven't beat them in quite a while. We get that home field advantage. We get that heat of late September. And then I'm just going to get to the fourth game, and then I'm going to let you give some analysis here, Chris. So we got the Patriots at home, Ravens on the road, Bills at home, and then the AFC champion Cincinnati Bengals on the road on a short week, Thursday night primetime. What do you think of this first month of the season?
It is a gauntlet, Sam. We talked off air, and it really is tough. Two divisional games, luckily both at home. And then you're playing two AFC North powerhouses at Baltimore. And then on the road on Thursday night football is a death sentence most of the time. It's almost impossible to win those games, especially coming off a very emotional home divisional game against the defending division champions who just have had our number. Josh Allen in his career, Sam, is 7-0 against the Miami Dolphins. He has never lost to the Miami Dolphins. So it's going to be a brutal four-game stretch, and it's going to be a test, like you said, because it does get a little easier after. But, man, that's going to be a test for us, and it's going to put Mike McDaniel in the driver's seat right away to see how he's got the team prepared and how we show up.
I like the fact that we get two and AFC North games on the road out of the way early, because again, you're talking about weather, which again, traditionally a cold weather team, a cold weather game for the Miami Dolphins is not a good thing. And we're going to see that maybe potentially bite us in the butt later in the season. We'll get to that. Just a quick correction. Josh Allen is 7-1 against the Miami Dolphins, but we have not beat him in, I think, 3 years. I think we got him his rookie year, if I'm not mistaken. So he's owned us. Let's just call it that.
Okay. Maybe the stat I saw is he's won 7 straight or something, but that makes sense. It's an odd number, and we play them twice a year. So yeah, he has to be 7-1.
Yeah. Yeah. So we are
That's
looking
still
at
way too much.
It's way too much. And, you know, that's going to be the test. The Buffalo Bills are a very good team. And I hate to say it because everyone knows that's the team I hate the most in the NFL. But we get them at home early. We put them in their darks. We go all white and we see what we can do with our talent versus their talent. I am intrigued by this Bengals game. A, it's on primetime. B, it is on a Thursday night, but that is the Super Bowl representative from the AFC last year. They're pretty darn good. You have Tua, you have Joe Burrow, you've got their wide receivers against our defensive backs. You've got our wide receivers against their not so good defensive backs. That could be a slugfest. That could be a shootout. Not really sure where that one's going to go, but the fact that it's on the road on a short week does not bode well for the Miami Dolphins traditionally. Now, looking at the first four games, it's very possible that the Miami Dolphins go 1-3. It's very possible the Dolphins go 0-4. It's possible they go 2-2. It's possible anything, right? But that's a very hard part of the schedule. And this is why I'm stressing patience with Miami Dolphins. If we come out of this month with a losing record, the season is not over. They proved that last season, because let's just look at the next few games here, Chris. October 9th, week 5 at New York Jets. Okay. So we have two road games in a row at Cincinnati, at New York. Next week at home against the Minnesota Vikings. The next week, primetime Sunday night football against Pittsburgh Steelers with Brian Flores on the other sideline. That's going to be intriguing. After that, Detroit Lions in Detroit in October. So cold weather, even though it's indoors, isn't really going to be a problem. Then you got Soldier Field early November, Chicago Bears. Chicago's not very good. Then you have Cleveland and Deshaun Watson and everything that's going around there in Miami right before the bye. So your next six games at Jets, home against the Vikings, home against the Steelers, at Detroit, at Chicago, home against Cleveland. All very winnable games in my estimation.
Yeah, all winnable and weather friendly, like you mentioned. You get, again, at Jets out of the way early on in the season. So we're not playing in a snow blizzard in disgusting New Jersey with nobody is a good person there at all.
And quite honestly, that's going to be a home game anyways. I mean, the MetLife takeover has been a thing for the Miami Dolphins for the last few years, and we've just taken over that stadium. This is not going to be any different.
Well, and by then, too, the Jets have a fucking gauntlet of a schedule, too, that there's like people predicting literally they could rattle off 10 straight losses. It's such a tough schedule. So by then, their fans might be coming down off that high of a really strong draft. And we got nothing but Dolphins fans chanting, "Let's go Dolphins," in MetLife.
Yeah, absolutely. So November 20th, that is our bye week, week 11. I think that's great placement for the bye week, right? You've got the majority of your games out of the way. You get rest right as you get into those cold weather games, get that extra week to just heal up any nagging injuries or bumps and bruises. And then you hit, again, I don't want to overstate it because this team has owned us over the years, but the Houston Texans at home. I mean, I think that's going to be a game that's very winnable. So you're looking at a schedule right now through the first 11 games where the Miami Dolphins could in theory be 7-4, 8-3, and maybe at worst 6-5. So you're looking at a winning record as you go into December. The first game in December is near my hometown of San Jose in Santa Clara, California, against the 49ers. Mike McDaniel comes back to play against Kyle Shanahan. A lot of intrigue there. I'm looking forward to that game. But then we are on the West Coast for two games in a row, which I'm pretty sure the Miami Dolphins did this in the past. They probably requested, can you put those back to back? We'll stay on the West Coast. We've got the Niners, and then we've got the Chargers. You got Justin Herbert versus Tua Tagovailoa once again. A lot of intrigue there. Late games, 4:05 for each of those on the eastern side of the United States. So you've got Houston Texans at San Francisco, at Los Angeles, at Buffalo Bills. You've got three away games, two on the West Coast, one on the East Coast. What do you think of those four games coming off the bye? Texans, Niners, Chargers, Bills.
Texans and Niners, in my opinion, are winnable games.
Absolutely.
Just on paper, for sure. Just George Kittle's great and Debo Samuel's great, but Mike McDaniel knows him pretty well. Not to say that he's going to be out there playing and can stop them, but out of the four, those are winnable games. You want to talk about the Chargers and the Bills. These are like where we want to be in the AFC. So these are going to be great, huge tests for us. Especially the Buffalo one. I mean, it's just how it goes in the first part of the season. Are we going to be, you know, did we lose? Are we going to be really chomping at the bit and needing this victory? Is there going to be added pressure? And then the Chargers, that one right there, Sam, that team is good and they've gotten better. They got JC Jackson from the Patriots. They had a really good draft. Justin Herbert obviously has been playing this unbelievable football to start his career. And it's been nothing but two comparisons to Justin Herbert since we did pick Tagovailoa over Justin Herbert. So it's going to be an intriguing game. It's going to be an exciting game. It's an AFC battle of what should be, just like the Bengals do, the future of the AFC playing against each other and really starting that rivalry. So it's exciting, man. Like, I don't know. After a couple of disappointing seasons, I'm just looking forward to football right now. And maybe it's just because it's Mike McDaniel. It's put me in a really super chill mood. But it's just exciting as a football fan to be exciting for other football fans that don't have a dog in a fight. And we're a part of that. So it's cool.
It absolutely is. And actually, I think that Chargers-Bills first half of the next four games might be the toughest part of the schedule. I mean, if you look at the first four games, that's a brutal schedule. Patriots, Ravens, Bills, Bengals. But looking at this, the last three games, we have the Packers on Christmas in Miami. We have the New England Patriots in Boston on New Year's Day. And then we end at home against the New York Jets. But look at these four games right here: at Los Angeles Chargers, at Buffalo Bills, at home against the Green Bay Packers, at New England Patriots. That's a brutal four-game schedule. I mean, we have four games at the beginning of the season, which could put us in a hole. And then we got four games at the end of this season that could maybe pull us back from the brink of the playoffs. So here's what's going to happen. The Miami Dolphins need to win the games that they are supposed to win when you look at this on paper, and they're going to have to beat the Bills at least once. I think they have to beat the Jets twice, and you have to beat the Patriots at least once, if not twice. I think we're better than the Patriots. I think we're better than the Jets. We're not better than the Bills, but we're closer to the Bills than we've ever been in the last few years. You're going to have to snake one of those games. But when I look at this schedule, Chris, and I look how it's laid out, I do like the balance. We only at one point have three away games with the Niners, Chargers, and Bills, but two of those are on the West Coast. They're going to stay on the West Coast, so the travel isn't as bad. Everything else is pretty balanced. Home away, home away, home away. I like the fact that we get home games early against the AFC East, so we can kind of, you know, stop them in their tracks with our moistness in South Florida. We've got that's why I did it. AFC North opponents on the road, we get out of the way early, so we minimize the amount of cold weather games that we're going to see. The Green Bay Packers come to Miami in December. Yes, we're going to have to play the Patriots on January 1st. And yes, we're going to have to play the Bills in mid-December. Those are probably going to be cold games, but we're looking at maybe two cold weather games for this entire season. That's pretty good if you're the Miami Dolphins and a Miami Dolphins fan. Anything else stand out to you about this schedule, good, bad, or otherwise?
Yeah, I'll just concur with you that it wasn't one that I went, oh my God, why do we have this horrible stretch? Or we got to go over to London again, or, you know, back to back short weeks. It's really just a good schedule. And it's up to the Dolphins to control their own destiny and win the games you're supposed to, like you said, and then surprise some people. And we have the weapons to do it and the coaching staff to do it. And we can't, after the season, Sam, say it would have been different if we had a better schedule, because it really is a very fair schedule.
What's your favorite game on here? What's the best storyline when you're coming into that week? You're hyped because of what? What is the game that you look at and go, ooh, I can't wait for that because of this?
Oh, Cincinnati, 100%. I mean, these guys went to the Super Bowl, could have won the Super Bowl. Joe Burrow is a cigar-toting number one overall pick in the Tua draft. And it's just going to be one of those LSU, Alabama, like they're going to show the highlights. It's national TV. Everyone's watching. I literally have to put in PTO for that Friday afterwards, because I'm just, it's win or lose. You're either going to drink to celebrate or drink to cry. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Divisional games, of course, are cool. Chargers is a close second. But I love that we're not playing the Raiders too. Like, I'm so sick of playing them. I just don't like Derek Carr and his eye mascara. So happy to not see him. So there's my top three: Cincinnati, Chargers, and no Derek Carr.
I believe it's called Guyliner. But yes, I'm sick of the Raiders. I'm sick of the Colts. I'm sick of the Texans, who we do play again. And I'm also sick of the freaking Titans. It seemed like we were playing them all the time for some reason, too. So I'm happy to not see them on the schedule for the most part. For me, there's a couple of games here. Number one, that Pittsburgh Steelers game, with everything that's been going on with Brian Flores. I know he's a defensive assistant only, but you know there's going to be a lot of sideline shots of Brian Flores in this game. It is on primetime Sunday night, NBC, about 10 days after my birthday. So they could give me a birthday present and stomp Brian Flores and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Minkah Fitzpatrick, by the way. That would be a lot of fun. So that one's intriguing. I'm also intrigued by the storyline of Mike McDaniel going against the San Francisco 49ers in December. You know, we're going to find out on some level just who was the mastermind of that offense last year. Was it Kyle Shanahan? Was it Mike McDaniel? I'm intrigued by what that's going to look like, especially with some of the 49er players that we've been able to pull from them. I would be awesome to see Raheem Mostert actually go back and beat the San Francisco 49ers on some level. How fantastic would that be? Trent Sherfield, maybe some of these other guys. So those are two of the games in terms of storyline that I'm just intrigued by, that 49ers game and that Steelers game. And it has to do with the head coaches, if nothing else.
Yeah. And I also just special shout out and, what am I trying to say? Special shout out and extra bonus PS, the Green Bay Packers on Christmas. Ooh, how cool is that? Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, a non-divisional, non-conference game, but a NFC powerhouse, and Aaron Rodgers coming. It's going to be technically a national TV game because we're one of three on Christmas Day. Me with an older kid, that's pretty cool for me, because like, it's not like the same old, you know, rah-rah, exciting, wake up and open presents. It's more like, hey, bud, here's your stuff. So, like, you're kind of bored the end of the day. You're not, like, setting up train tracks and everything. So now I got something to do. I get to watch football, including the Dolphins. The only thing I'm worried about is they ruin the holidays.
Well, I need somebody, probably Race, but somebody to take that old clip from Something About Mary where Brett Favre is there, and they're like, what is Brett Favre doing here? And he says, I'm in town to play the Dolphins, you dumbass. We need to put Aaron Rodgers' face on there instead and have him, I'm in town to play the Dolphins, you dumbass. That would be a lot of fun to see. Overall, so we got 17 games. We just went through the schedule. We pointed out the parts that are going to be more difficult than others and how the schedule's broken down. Gun to your head. Shotgun to your head. So big old gun to your head, Chris. What is the Miami Dolphins record as you see it right now as we sit?
11-6.
You've got them 11-6. I've got them 10-7, but I can easily see it going 11-6. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of unknowns with this team until we start seeing them play in preseason. As long as there's no injuries, again, knock on wood, it's going to be hard to tell. But I'm looking at this and I'm very optimistic. I see this as a 10-7 team, 11-6. I mean, if they catch fire and they're better than we think they are, or some of these teams fall off, you know, maybe they get a little bit more than that. But I'm with you. I'm at 10-7. You're at 11-6. Not too far off here. If the bottom were to fall out, you know, that's maybe where we think it's going to be. What's the floor? Things just go wrong. What's the worst case scenario other than 0-17 that you think the Miami Dolphins would do?
I could see it being one of those where Mike McDaniel bit off more than he can chew, and he's got a lot of learning to do, and maybe made some game management bad decisions on challenges or timeouts, things like that. Where the basement, I think, for us is 7 or 8 wins.
Yeah, you're right there. We're tracking the same. I actually see it. 6-10. I could see a couple of these games going the opposite way. Again, if there's some mistakes, there's
six
a penalty.
6-11, Sam.
6-11. Excuse me. No, I they just forfeited one of those games. The other, both teams just didn't show up, you know. But no, you're right. 6-11, 100%. So that would be, I think, the bottom. You're talking about 7 wins. I say 6. I say realistically, we're looking at 10-7. You're saying 11-6. I like your answer better than mine, but it is what it is. But we're right there, man. I think that gets us into the playoffs. I think we'd be a wild card at 10-7 or 11-6.
Well, the AFC is so loaded that they're all going to beat each other. The Chiefs are going to beat the Broncos. The Broncos are going to beat the Chargers. Chargers are going to beat the Raiders. You know, who knows what happens with the Browns, how many games Deshaun Watson possibly gets suspended. There's just all kinds of intrigue. The AFC is so top heavy that they're all going to beat the crap out of each other, leaving a wild card team around the 9 or 10 win mark, like always. And it's going to be about tiebreakers coming down to it. And we've been the outside looking in the last 2 years of those tiebreakers, even with our own destiny in our hands at multiple times. So this is where the guys from the previous regime that are still here and the new guys need to come over together and change that narrative.
Yeah, the rumor is he's getting 4 games to Deshaun Watson, but it would be nice if he got 10. And then we just got whoever is the backup, what, Jacoby Brissett against the Cleveland Browns in week 10. That would be a lot of fun.
Miami Dolphin, great, Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, we'll just throw Teddy Bridgewater out there just to mess with him. But that is it, man. I got 10-7. You've got 11-6. We've got Mike McDaniel just being the drippiest of coaches for all of his players and OTAs. We've got Melvin Ingram, who's going to scare the living bejesus and make Josh Allen crap out of his dick going forward on passing situations. And of course, the big news for you and I, SiriusXM, for Welcome to Perfectville, Chris Cullen, Sam Marcoux, part of the Believe Network. Chris, anything else you want to say before we get out of here?
Nobody. Thanks for having me back. I'm happy to be back. And why so SiriusXM?
Why so SiriusXM indeed. But on behalf of Sam Marcoux, Chris Cullen, and the entire Believe Network, the only thing left to say is goodbye from Perfectville.
Later.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match 2 of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.